We begin the current daf Masechet Tzivam is daf Tzadi Gimel. We begin 5 lines down by the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, which was a continuation on the top of this Amud, where the Gemara was attempting to describe in Rish Lakish's opinion that a certain Tanoic opinion could be attributed to Rabbi Akiva, which the Gemara had a problem with that. And the Gemara ultimately said that Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that Ein Odom Makna Dovash Levayelam. Actually, Rabbi Akiva holds that a person cannot create an acquisition for something that doesn't exist right now. Although it's going to come, but if it's not here right now, you cannot do a kenyan. And although there was a halacha, the Rebbe Akiva says something that seemingly sounds like that you could, and that Rav Huna Berei Rebbe Yeshua had interpreted on this line right before, that he says that no, although her ma'is yadayim, her earnings, didn't come yet, so what does he have to nullify that vow for, and that it is a valid vow, is because she's taking the vow not on the earnings, which didn't come yet, but she's saying that Yikatru Yodai Lo Yisayim, that my hands, that is something that's around, and that's symbolic of the earnings, that is what I'm being Makdish to Hashem. So therefore that is extant, and that's how the Kinyan could happen on the Neder, and that's why he has to be made for that. But essentially, Rebbe Akiva holds that Ein Odom Makna Dovash Levayelam. Rebbe Akiva holds that a person cannot create an acquisition for something that's not in the world yet. Now that, the Gemara continues, Upligid Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Now this interpretation of Huna Berei Rebbe Yeshua in Rebbe Akiva's opinion in this Mishnah in Masechtas Nedarim argues on Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and that's because the Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says the following statement, which we see that he holds that in Rebbe Akiva's opinion that a person can be Makna Dovash Levayelam. As the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said Rav Huna Kerav, in other words, that Rav who was Rav Huna's Rebbe, that's where Rav Huna heard this halacha from. And Varav Kerab Yanai, and Rav heard this from Rab Yanai, and so on. Each one is going back to the generation before. Rab Yanai Kerab Chia, Rab Chia Kerabi, Rabbi Kerab Meir, Rab Meir Kerab Elezer Ben Yaakov, and Rab Elezer Ben Yaakov is all the way back up to Kerab Akiva. That what? What do all these opinions say one from the other? That's their misery that they had. The Amar, that they said, Adam Makna Davash Leibel Oilam. Where did it all come from? From Akiva. And he said that a person could create an acquisition. He could be Makna something to someone for someone that didn't come into the world yet. So obviously that this Rav Nachman Yitzchok is arguing on Rav Huna Berei Yeshua. As the Gemara goes through in great detail to show, how do we see that each one of these Amaram Tanoim hold of this halacha, which again goes all the way back to Rabbi Akiva, and that obviously he interprets of Rabbi Akiva requiring Yafir Shemetad V'lov Yesim in the Roloi is not because that it says Yikatzur Yodalai Yisayim, but actually you can make an acquisition, a neder could be chal on something that's not even around yet. So Rav Huna Mahi, where do we find Rav Huna says this halacha, that Adam can be Makna Dabash Leibel Oilam? So Ditmas, like we learned, HaMeichah Peres Deka L'chaver, if someone in the wintertime sells the fruits of his tree to someone else, now there's obviously no fruits now, but he's selling the fruits that are going to come. Some Rav Huna, so his Rav Huna says, Achle bo loilam, if the fruits didn't come out yet, so meaning to say that the person can still retract before Nisan time when the trees start bringing forth the fruit, well then yochal achzabai. So if it's before, let's say, Nisan time, then you could retract from that gift that you were selling to someone else. But Mishabar loilam, but if the fruits already came out, let's say it's already E or Sivan time, well then Ein Yochal Achzabai, then the seller cannot retract because once the fruits come out, so then the acquisition is chal, then the sale is happened already because the fruits came. Now one thing we see from Rav Huna is that he holds that Adam could be Makna Dovash Leibel Oilam. We see that in the winter months, yes, he can retract until it comes, but once it comes, that is a valid sale, and you see that the sale was happening even if it didn't come yet. Now Rav Nachman Amar, he argues on Rav Huna. He says, Af Mishabo Leilam Yochal Achzabai, it's not true that even after the fruits come out, the person could still retract the sale, and that's because, as Rashi explains in Masechtas Bat Metzia, because he holds that Adam cannot be Makna Dovash Leibel Oilam. Now, however, Amar Rav Nachman, he says, Medina, but what I will agree to Rav Huna is, the Shamit Va'achal, if the person grabs it and eats it, the one who was the buyer, well then, then we don't take it away from him. In other words, because as long as the seller didn't retract, well then he's forgiving regarding the consumption, even though essentially it was an error. And that is because he didn't know that he could retract. Still considered that he's moichel, that he's forgiving, because the seller thought that it is acquired by the purchaser, and that is the purchaser is rightfully eating it. And therefore, it's considered from the dine of mechila, of forgiving. That's why we say that if he was shamav achel, so then we don't take it away from him, it's considered after the fact a mechila on the consumption. But however, that's where we see that Rav Huna at least says that Adam can be machin davar shelo yabayla. Rav, going up the ladder, where do we see that he says this halacha? The Amr Rav Huna Amr Rav, that Rav Huna, who again, as we said, he had this tradition from Rav, says in the name of Rav, someone tells his friend, before he purchased a field, he tells him, look, this field that I'm going to buy, when I'm going to purchase it, it's going to be like retroactively yours from now. So that Rav says, kana, and that is, it's considered a valid gift. So obviously we see that Rav Huna heard his halacha from Rav, who says the same idea, where it, he didn't even buy it yet, but it's already gifting it to someone else, that we see he could do that, even though it's shlei b'la'ilam. Again, shlei b'la'ilam doesn't mean that the field's not there, it means to say that in the person's domain, it's not there for him to be able to sell it, and we see that he could give it away. Going further up, Rabbi Yannai Krepchia. The Rabbi Yannai Havala Arisa, where Rabbi Yannai had a certain sharecropper, to have a ma'isalei kansa de peri kol ma'ale shabbata, that the sharecropper used to bring him every Arab Shabbos, every Friday afternoon, a basket full of produce, of fruits. Now, hahu yom in the galley, that Friday, whatever it was, that the aris delayed more than it usually does. Now, v'loyasa, it wasn't coming. So, shakal aser mi peri de beise alayu. So he figured the guy's going to come on Shabbos. Now, the problem is, fresh fruit, you got to go ahead and take off trumas and ma'isus. But he wasn't able to do that on Shabbos. So he went now on Erev Shabbos and took off the tithes from the produce from what he had in his house, even though he didn't even have the produce yet. So also coming to Reb Chiya, it came from the Reb Chiya. This is where we go further up the ladder. We're going to see both of them agree to this halacha. And Amalei Reb Chiya told him, Shabravata, you did well, in a sense, although this is what you did with Shalei B'Loilam. You can't take off Trumas and Ma'aser, something you don't even have. He was going to get it at a later point in time, and yet he said, you did well. To tell like Linda Brysa. So Pasuk in Devarim, which talks about Trumas and Ma'aser, where the Pasuk in Devarim Yudalt Chav Gimel says, you should eat in front of Hashem your God, and it goes on, says Ma'aser the Gan Chaturish Bitzrecha, again talking about Ma'aser. And the Pasuk says, Lamad Tilmad Liyiris Hashem Lekecha, so you should learn to fear Hashem your God. That's what is in the context of when one takes off Trumas and Ma'aser, Kal HaYamim, all your days. Now what's all your days? Eilu Shabbos of Yom Tov. That includes even Shabbos and Yom Tov. In other words, as Rashi explains, you should be careful. You should be learning to be careful that you shouldn't nullify Einig Shabbos because of the problem of being Masak and Tevel, which you can't do on Shabbos. So make sure that you take over your Trumas and Ma'aser because that should be an element that's you're concerned with regarding all your days, meaning even regarding Shabbos, that we want you to have Einig Shabbos. You should be able to eat your fruits, your produce, even on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara wonders, Lamai Helchasa. For example, what halacha is the pasuk warning you and saying, look, be careful that you could eat these produce all your days. How's that? By taking over Trumas and Ma'aser. Now, on Shabbos, you can't because you can't have Masak and Tevel. So, okay, make sure. Make sure what? So the Gemara says, Ile melasure, if it means to say that you could take off Ma'aser on Shabbos, that's what the pasuk is telling you, umechel, and then you could eat it. So the problem with that is, do we need a pasuk to tell you that even though it's Shabbos, you could be misakin the tevel, the untithed produce, by taking off trumas and ma'aser? That's obvious. It's a krol lemishri tiltel drabanan. Do we need a pasuk to permit a rabbinic prohibition? Separating ma'aser and Shabbos is only a rabbinic prohibition. As a Mishnah teaches us in Masechet Beis Din Avlam Avav Mabez, that these are rabbinic prohibitions, not taking off trumas and ma'aser. So how would a pasuk be considering a rabbinic prohibition to tell you that, oh, although it's usually prohibited, but in the context of so that you can enjoy your produce of Einig Shabbos, so therefore we allow you to do Trumas and Ma'aser. That can't be because biblically, which is what the Bible is, what the Torah is, there's no prohibition of just moving around things of Muktzah or taking off Trumas and Ma'aser. So rather, that's what Reb Chiya proves from this pasuk, from the Bryce's interpretation, because you know, Amud Beis, Elalav ki haigavna. Rather, this is what the pasuk must be saying. That it's permitted to take off ma'aser, let's say on Erev Shabbos, for something that's going to come in the future for the purposes of Einig Shabbos. You're right, there's no problem biblically about taking off Trumas and Ma'aser on Shabbos, but it's just saying that if you want to be prepared, like it was in your story, that you're allowed to do it, even though it didn't come about yet. And that's to even take in context the Kol HaYamim, meaning even Shabbos and Yom Tov, that you could go ahead and take it off in the previous time, again, illustrating the halacha of that you could make a kinyan in even Davish Shalei B'Loilam. Now, however, Amalei, Rabbi Yannai said Reb Chiya, but I'm still concerned that maybe I didn't do the right thing, because V'Hakruyin Ba'alma, it was read to me in my dream on this Friday night, meaning I did this on Friday afternoon, and then Friday night I had a dream that Kana Ratzus, it was said to me in my dream, the broken reed. Now, my love, so Rabbi Yehuda is saying, isn't what the message is that Hochi Karmeli, this is what they're telling me in my dream, based on the Pasuk in Melachim Beis. It says that Sancheiriv said to Chizkiah HaMelech, he said, look, I'm telling you, you're not making a smart decision. Hine v'tach d'lecha. Behold, you're putting your trust on Mish'enus HaKana HaRatzus HaZeh, on this splintered, broken reed, and that's what you're supporting on, which was a reference to the king of Egypt. He said, you're making a mistake, that you're aligning yourself with him. It's not going to be good for you. But one thing is that that pasuk is definitely saying you didn't do good. So isn't that what they're telling me in my dream, that I didn't do a good thing by taking off Trumas and Maaser, something I didn't have yet? So that Reb Chiya said, Loi, no. This is what they're referring to. It was a pasuk in Yeshaya. We also use the same terminology. Kana rotus la yishper. The splintered reed will not break. Ufish terkeya and the flickering flax lo yichabeno will not be extinguished. In other words, as the end of that pasuk says, la emes yetzi mishpat, that the truth will come out in judgment, in justice, which is a reference to actually Melech HaMashiach, to say that you did do well, and that's what the pasuk there is referencing regarding salvation. And therefore, we see the Reb Chiya and Reb Yana both held that a person can make a kinyan in a davar, shalei b'lo ilam, that you could take off trim and some ices for produce you don't have yet. So moving up the ladder, Rebbe, where do we see that he holds up this idea? The Tanya in the Braisa. Pasuk in the Varm says, Leisaskir Eved al Adonav, which literally means like you shouldn't lock up a slave to his master. Now, what does that mean? So Rebbe, I mean, his interpretation of that pasuk is that B'lekech Eved al Manas L'shachar HaKasim Dabba. The pasuk is saying, in reference to if someone purchases a slave with the intention to free him, so pasuk is saying, if that was your intention when you bought him, well then you're not allowed to go ahead and enslave him and put him into servitude. Now, that thing about Hechidam, what is that case? So Amar Menachem B'Yitzchak, he says the Kasuv Leih, where the master wrote to the servant that L'keshekechecha, when I purchase you, Harei Atzmecha Kanu Lach Me'akshav, then you are acquired to yourself from now, but he didn't even buy him yet, and yet we see that that sale of giving himself to himself would work even though it was a davar Shalei B'Loilam. So moving further up, Remeir, Titnan, and the Gersa says Titania, like on the Braisa, if someone tells a woman, behold, you are betrothed to me, you're engaged to me, but although we really can't get married now because I'm not Jewish, but after I convert, then I'm giving you a ring now that when I convert, then we'll be married. Or you're not Jewish, but after you convert. Or after that I get freed, I'm a slave now, I'm not able to get married to you, but I'm giving it to you now that when I get freed, then we'll be married. After you get freed. You're really married now, but after your husband dies. Or, although I'm married to your sister, after your sister, this person's wife, dies. Or, although that you're a shemeres yavam, and you have a zikah to the yavam, but after that your yavam does chalitza to you. So the Talmud Kama holds in the mukudashas. But Remei holds that's a valid kedushin. Even though right now, it's a davish lebel oilam because he's not Jewish, she's not Jewish, whatever the circumstance is, but in the future that's going to come. And yet what they're doing right now, that kedushin, is going to be chal, so obviously that you could make a kinyan in a davish lebel oilam. Moving further up, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the time like learned a braisa. Now, the context of that braisa is talking about if someone has two types of produce, one still connected to the ground, which is not applicable yet for the halachas of trumas and maaser, and one has a pile, and then there's a pile of produce that's already detached. So now the person says, I'm taking trumas and maaser from the detached produce on that which is still connected. So that the Braisa had said, which this Braisa, what the Gemara is quoting is a continuation, that since it's what's called biyadai, it's in his capacity to take that produce and detach it, and thus have it a valid trumas and maaser, so therefore that's going to work. But that the Braisa says, yes, al kinam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Even more than this, that when you're taking from detached on attached, which attached generally is not in the program, but since you could detach it, so that's going to work. He says even a bigger chiddush, that afilo amama peris arugazu telushim, similar to the previous case, that even if he says, look, I'm going to take the fruits of this row, which are detached already, that you truma peris aruga mechubar, that they should be truma the fruits of this row, which are still attached, oi peris aruga mechubar, or the other way around, I'm going to take the fruits of this row, which are still attached, that they'll be trimmed some ma'isus al perizu talushin on these fruits which are already detached. More than just being attached is that they're not even a third of their growth. Now, the Gemara Malacha to be entered into the category of trimmed ma'isus only when, as the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah based on the pasuk, is only when it's a third of its maturity. Now, it doesn't even have that. But he's saying that I'm going to take it of trimmed ma'isus so that A, when it gets detached, but moreover, when it grows a third, v'yitlishu, and then it'll be detached. So it really has like two deficiencies. But v'yivu shlish v'nitlishu, and then ultimately it grew a third, and then they detach it. Dvarav kayom, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, so that's a valid separation of trumas and maisis. So you see that although it's a davish lebel oilam, it's still attached. It's not even a third grown, and yet still that's going to be a valid trumas and maisis. Obviously he holds davish lebel oilam is not a problem making a kinyan. And finally, all the way back to Rabbi Akiva. Not like we learned in the Mishnah Maseches Nedarim, which started this discussion from the end of the previous daf, that it says there in the Mishnah, "Koyinim shani ois lepicha." A woman tells her husband, "Look, whatever earnings I'm going to make are forbidden on the power of an oath for you to have pleasure." So the Tanna Kamma says, "And it's our chlafer. You don't have to nullify that vow because she's meshubed. Her earnings are indebted to him. She can't go ahead and make that forbidden to him." He says, Yafir, no, the husband should nullify, which is that he could do that. And the reason is because Shema Tadav Alav Yesem in the role, because maybe she's going to make more earnings than what she is indebted to him. And because of the Hadafa, you should nullify that because then that's going to be forbidden to you. But one thing we see from there is that she could make a nether on something that didn't even come yet, which is the Hadafa, which is the extra earnings she'll make, let's say, in a month. But we see that Rabbi Akiva says that in spite of that, you have to nullify that. So obviously, she can make a kinyan, she can make a neder, and a davar, shalebel oilam. But one thing is, and that's why we introduced this, is that obviously this interpretation is not like Rav Huna ben Yehoshua, which we ended off the previous daf like, who he said that Rabbi Akiva holds that a person cannot make makan the davar shalel. So what do you do with this statement? He said that the way she phrases the vow is that my hands are muktish, to Hashem, l'shamayim, which basically means to say that anything that will come through what's already extant, which are the hands, which creates the earnings, are going to be forbidden. So that's not considered davish lebel oilam because the yadayim is nehu ba'oilam. But again, that's the machlokes regarding the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which is related to the previous opinion of Rish Lakish, who wanted to propose something which depends on this if Rabbi Akiva holds adam is makna davish lebel oilam or cannot be. Now the Gemara continues, related to the discussion of our Mishnah, regarding two different components of our Mishnah, regarding the testimony of one witness, which we said in our Mishnah that if one witness comes and says that the woman's husband died, so she can remarry based on that testimony. So that the Gemara asks, Boyum name Rav Sheshes. They asked the following question from Rav Sheshes. Eid echad biyavama. When there's one witness that comes and says a testimony regarding her yavam, meaning, he testifies that the husband died, but not like the case of the Mishnah where then she could remarry someone else. But it's a situation where the husband died without any children and there's a yava. Maha, what would the halacha be like over there? So the Gemara explains the question. Time of the Eid Echad, what's the reason why we said in the Mishnah we go on based on the testimony of one witness and we consider like the husband is dead and then she can go ahead and marry someone else? Is because Mishum de Milsa Davida Leglui LeMishaker, something that's ultimately going to end up being found out what the reality is. He's not going to lie because everyone's going to find out he's a charlatan, he's a liar because here it is, a husband's right here. So, therefore, the same halacha would apply even in this context where it's related to now the woman having to do Yibum with her brother in law. He's not going to lie. Maybe that's not the reason of Eidechad. And we had similar discussions regarding this. Shaila, this hakir regarding the testimony of one witness, it's not really him that creates the permissibility of the woman. It's because mishum deihi daika mitzvah. It's because she hears the testimony. Now, she's going to figure it out. She's going to do her due diligence and do a proper investigation, and then she gets married. So essentially, we're not really relying on the one witness. We just need something to start the process and then something to rely on. But essentially, it's her. Now, but v'hacha, it's different. Kivin de zimna de rachmalei, sometimes she'll really like her brother-in-law, she'll want to have a relationship with her yavam, maybe loy daika mitzvah, maybe she's not going to be careful, and then get married. So maybe here it should be different. When it's talking about just getting married to someone in the world, and she starts the whole process over again, so fine, she'll be careful, she doesn't want to get stuck in a bad situation. But why someone that she knows really well and she likes the brother-in-law, maybe she won't be careful. Maybe we should not rely on the testimony of one witness. So Amar Rav Sheshet, Rav Sheshet said to them, Tinisil, we learned this in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, if Amrullah, if they told the woman, Meis bincha v'achkach meis balecha, first your son died, and then your husband died, which that means at the time of death, her husband died without any children. So b'nisyama, she went and did yibum with her brother-in-law. V'achkach Amrullah, and then the reports came in and said, sorry, chiluf advarim, it actually was the other way around. First, your husband died, and then your son died, which means to say that there was no heter of yibum because there was a child at the time of death. So Teitzish has to leave her brother-in-law now. V'havlad rishon v'achar mamzer. And the children from before the report, after the report, at any point in time, are mamzerim because that's a union of achiv akrisis because that was an eishes ach, shalei b'makom mitzvah, meaning sheyesh leibanim. At the time of death, there were children, and therefore it's a regular erva of eishes ach, of the brother's wife. Now, the question is, hei chidami, what's the understanding of this case of our Mishnah? Ile mitrei utrei, if you say it's talking about that when they told her, it says Amrullah, they told her that this was the reality, and then the others came along and said, no, it's the other way around. What's the situation? If it was first two witnesses who told her that, yeah, you should do Yibim, because first your son died, then your husband, and then it's two other witnesses that say, no, it's the other way around. First your husband died, then your son. Well, then my chaz is the Samachani. What do we see fit to rely on the second two witnesses? Samachani, maybe rely on the first two witnesses. Why do we say she has to leave? Her children are Mamzerim. Void, moreover, Mamzer, would you call then the child of that union she had afterwards with her Yavam as an illegitimate child? The most is going to be a suffering Mamzer, who is a doubtful Mamzer, because we have what's called Trey and Trey. They negate each other, and therefore, why would we say that it's definitely a problem? Now, the Gemara says, and if you're going to say that, you're right, it didn't mean a definitive mamzer, but it's a suffix mamzer, and the Tana wasn't precise in the words that he used, but you can't say that. Because if I'm the Tani Sefer, and the fact that we have in the Sefer of the Mishnah that mentions a different halacha, where we see that the terminology of mamzer means a definitive mamzer, where it says, Harishan mamzer. The first one is a mamzer, where that's a definitive, because actually that case is talking about where she got remarried based on the testimony of one witness, and then two witnesses said that was incorrect, where that obviously makes the child definitively a mamzer, because two override one. And v'achron ain't a mamzer, but the later child, meaning after the husband's death, that she was married to someone else, is not going to be a mamzer. But either way, that what we see from the Sefer is shemam nedavka ketani. Obviously, we said the term mamzer means a definitive mamzer. So we see that there is precise terminology when you're saying mamzer, it means definitive. So here it should have said suffig mamzer. So the fact that it's not saying suffig mamzer sounds like it's definitive. And if it's definitive, how does that make sense? It would be trey a trey. For sure, it's not going to be a definitive mamzer. So elalav, so rather Rav Sheshet proves from this, the shema minah, obviously that this case, when it was amrullah, that your son died first, then your husband, that then she went to go ahead to do yibum, was based on the testimony of chad on one witness. Therefore, Rav Sheshet proves now the time of the Asur Beitriak Cheshua. So the reason for the halacha in the Mishnah that yes, the children can be definitive mamzerim is only because it was only one person that said the way that allows her to do yibum, but then two people came along and refuted that. Now two overrides one, and therefore the children are mamzerim. Halav hachi mehem, and what the inference is, if not for two witnesses refuting this one witness, that the one witness would be believed, which is what? Which was a context of allowing this woman to go ahead and do yibum. So we see that even in such a context, the Eid Echad is believed, and we're not concerned for this idea of saying that maybe she's going to be really endeared to our brother-in-law and that it's going to be inappropriately doing yibum. Vigadami, that those that say a different version. That no. That what Rav Sheshet told them was, Halayti Bailach, that this is not even a question, that most definitely one witness is believed, not just for the woman to go ahead and marry other people, but even to go ahead and do yibum. And the reason is because even she herself is believed to say that he's dead, and not just to marry other people, but even to go ahead and do yibum with the yavam. And if you said that the concern was that maybe she's not going to be medayka mitzvah, and she's going to be so endeared with her brother-in-law, and that's going to be inappropriate, but we see clearly that even without a one aid, even with just herself, she is believed. It's not like in the Mishnah later on the Yudalam at Beis that says ha'isha she'amar meis balei. If a woman says my husband died, Tinose, she can go ahead and, if let's say there's no Yavam, to go ahead and marry other people. Meis Bali, if she says my husband died, Tis Yabim, she can go ahead and do Yibum. So that's not a question. If she herself, definitely one witness, could allow her to marry her Yavam, to do Yibum. Kitabayalach, what would be the question? Lemishri Yavamala Alma. Different halacha. To permit what would be essentially a Yavama, to then say that there is no element of Yibam over here, and that she could marry other people. Meaning, if you have one witness that's being matar ha'lashot, for example, if let's say the one witness says, not that your husband died, but your Yavam died. Or the one witness is saying in the context of your husband died, and then your son died. So essentially the testimony is saying that you're going to be exempt from Yibam. So if that's the context of the one witness's testimony, which is to say that she doesn't have to do Yibam, that's the question, would we rely on the one witness? And the reason is, because as we said before, my time of day at Echad, what's the reason that we believe one witness? Meaning in the general context of when he says the husband died, that she can marry other people. Is it because Mishum Demilsa David Ligluy Lemishakar? If it's because something that's, it's going to be, everyone's going to find that anyway, so he's not going to create such an outright lie. So Chanam Lemishakar here also is not going to lie where if she really is Mechoiv Min Yibam that the Yavam's alive, or really the facts were the other way around that would mandate her in Yibam. So he's not going to lie, and therefore she could go ahead and marry other people. Maybe, as we said, the other side of the coin is that no, it's not based on his testimony. It's just because then she'll be careful and she'll investigate and then she'll marry rightfully so. But here, she's not going to be careful when she goes ahead and marries someone else and not her brother-in-law, because here actually we could say both realities regarding her brother-in-law. Because she hates the Yavam. She can't stand her brother-in-law. And therefore, she's going to hear a report. She's going to run for the hills and going to quickly marry someone else. And she's not going to be B'dayik and Mincival. Although there's obviously repercussions because she hates him. So that's what he says. That could be the question. Not the question of the other way around. But rather the question is regarding actually marrying someone else and not having to do Yibam. Maybe there we would not believe, we would not base it on the testimony of one witness to allow her to be a Yavam Lashuk. And on that, Amar Rav Sheshi responded to them, Tinisu, we learned that also in our Mishnah. Amar lo meis ba'alecha v'achkach meis pincha, says that if they told her that your husband died and then your son died, which means that at the time of death there were children, there's no mitzvah of Yibam, so v'nissa, she got married to someone else, v'achkach amar lo achi l'v'hayadvam, and then they came and told her that actually the reality was the other way around, which means to say that you really had a mitzvah of Yibam. So halacha is teitze, she has to leave her new husband. Vavlad rishon ma'achar mamzer, and the children she had from that new husband are mamzerim, as Rashi points out. That's obviously like Rabbi Kivu, who holds that a case of yavama l'shok, who really she has to have do yibam, and instead she marries someone else, which is just a negative prohibition. Rabbi Kivu holds that creates children mamzerim. That's what was mentioned now in Mishnah. Now that Rav Sheshi develops his proof. Hey chidami, what's the context of this case in the Mishnah? If it's somehow that two people told her that she could marry someone else, and then it's two other edim that say the reality was the other way around, well then my chaz de samchanahani, why would you rely on the second two? Samchanahani, maybe rely on the first two. Void, moreover, mamzer, would the child then be a definitive illegitimate child? Savig mamzer, the most is going to be a doubtful, because you have two saying this way, two saying that way. Now, v'chitem leidak, if you're going to say that he just wasn't precise, but really, yes, that's what he meant with savig mamzer, but Hamadiktani Seifa Rishon Mamzer V'Achar Mamzer, just as we pointed out before in the previous discussion, that in the Seifa, when he says the first child is a Mamzer, the last one is not a child, Shmamina Didavka Ketani, there the halacha is saying that it's a definitive, because it's told that with one witness was allowing it and two witnesses that was wrong, with us it makes it a child into definitive Mamzer. So we see that the word Mamzer means definitive, so if it was Trey and Trey, how would it be definitive? El Olav, so Rav Sheshi is obviously talking about that Chad. The case there is talking about that when the first Amr Lo was one witness that said, Meis Balecha V'Achach Meis Bincha. Now, the time of the Asur Beit Trak HaChashua, now the reason why, in this case, she has to leave the new husband and her children Mamzerim is because afterwards came two witnesses who refuted that one and said that it was the other way around. Halav Hachi Mehemen, but if not, we would believe this one witness, even though his testimony is in the context of allowing her to go L'Shok and not have to go ahead and do Yibam to the Yavam. So obviously we're not concerned in this, which was the other side of the coin, of that maybe she's not going to be careful and she's going to quickly jump to someone else because she hates her brother-in-law that much. Obviously we're not concerned, and we do believe the Eid Echad even in such a context. Which the Gemara refutes the Raya. No, La'ilam Trey. Maybe it's actually talking about that there was two witnesses and then two witnesses. But if it's two and two, he said, so why would you rely on the second two? Why would the child be a definitive Mamzer? But it's Kedu Amar of Achaba Menyumi. That is talking about Be'edei Hazama, where he's talking about a different halacha, where Hazama is a unique halacha, where the Torah believes the last group of witnesses over the first group, because it's said in a certain way. It's not just that they're both arguing regarding certain facts. It's that the second two witnesses say, how could you two have said that was what happened? You weren't even there. You were with us. Where the Torah believes the second pair of witnesses, as it says in the Pasuk in Devarim Yotes, V'dersha Shreftim Heite V'hineh Sheker, which the Gemara Mesach Tesmakas Dav Heyman Alf explains that it's Tomat, where the second two say, Imon HaYisim, you with us. So how can you say such testimony? You're obviously lying. Where the Torah believes the second two. So Chanami Be'edazam, here also we're talking about that it's not just a regular tray. When we say Chiluf HaYadvarim, it's not because the first two witnesses, which the Gemara is refuting the Raya. There's no Raya from our Mishnah, which Rav Sheshes wanted to say that we would believe in Eid Echad, even to be Matar L'Shok. It's not Eid Echad. It was actually two Eidim that said, first your husband died, then your son, and therefore you could do Yivam L'Shok. The second two are saying to the first two, you're saying that that's what happened? Meaning, let's say there was some type of an accident, and they were able to see who died first. But you weren't even there. You were in a different country with us at that same time. And the Torah believes the second two over the first two. And therefore what they had said is refuted. And therefore that's what we're saying, that the reality gets changed now. And basically now the children shall have to leave that second marriage. And that obviously we're having that also, that there's testimony that say that reality too. But moreover, the reason why the Trey are believed, and more than the first ones, to go ahead and remove it and make it into mamzer, is because not only are they saying, let's say, chilvay dvarm, where that the reality was the other way, but moreover, they're saying that you could not have known it because you were with us, and therefore they're like non-existent. And that's why we believe the second ones over the first ones. But again, no raya to Rav Sheshes to prove that it's talking about a case of chad, and therefore it's only when there's two refuting, but when two wouldn't, that he would be believed. There's no raya from our Mishnah.